Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Start out there this morning with our temperatures in the low to mid 30s. A number of chilly starts this week, but we're also looking at a warm up later by the weekend. I'll show you how that will feel coming up.
Breaking at 8 o'clock, we have a crash on the ramp from 87 southbound onto the Beltline, creating some big backups. I'll tell you the best way to get around those delays.
Seven schools in Durham are closed today as employees are protesting about pay issues. Just ahead, what they're demanding and why they may not get any answers until the end of the week.
And it's time to pack those bags and plan for your next international trip. Just ahead, I'm sharing a little bit of those details we have about the latest announcement coming from RDU.
And bringing inside our WRL studio right now. And this is a Monday morning with that good news just 2 hours away. We find a new destination for RDU. It's been a banner year stretching into the new year. Glad you're with us. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. That's amazing how many flights you can take from RDU now. So we'll get to that coming up. But first, we have to talk weather. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with a look over downtown Raleigh. A nice start to the day. It's a little chilly out there, but blue skies is beautiful.
Blue sky is beautiful, isn't it? We take a live look at downtown Raleigh past the legislative building. We're seeing blue sky here. We've got some cloud cover. We're still seeing some clouds around the triangle. The farther south you go, the cloudier it is. We have a low that's pulling away from us. And we'll see more of this for most of the day. It is 34 currently, and we have just a light wind coming out of the north, but that northerly wind is going to keep things fairly cool for us. Here's our low. It's actually way down here in the Gulf of Mexico, and it is sliding southward. There's been some rain in South Carolina. That rain is beginning to dissipate, and all of this is sinking southward and pulling away from us. We just had this kind of swing through to our south, pushing a few clouds into our southern counties this morning. It's still cold out there, 33 in Goldsboro, as well as Rocky Mount and Wilson, is 36 in Southern Pines, 34 in Durham and Raleigh, and 20s up around Roxboro and South Hill. Hour by hour, we do climb into the mid-50s, so close to normal this afternoon with lots of sunshine. Our evening temperatures are still in the 50s, at least up until around 6 or 7 o'clock. A warm-up over the weekend, but we may turn wetter as well. I'll show you coming up, Brian.
It's 8:02 right now, Elizabeth. Following some crashes, creating some delays this morning. A little bit of good news, though. Just in the past couple of minutes, the backups on 87 southbound have cleared up nicely between New Hope Road heading out toward the 440 split there. On that ramp from 87 southbound to 440 westbound, we had a report of a crash. We're still measuring overall about a 7-minute delay on 87 southbound heading through Knightdale, but that should improve pretty quickly now that that crash is cleared. Also, some good news in eastern Wake County. We had a crash earlier on 64 westbound just beyond the Green Pace Road Bridge here heading out toward Lizard Lick Road. It was in the median. It's now clear. We're still seeing about a 3-minute delay overall as you head away from 96 and Zebulon out toward Knightdale, but there are some more significant delays as you approach 96 this morning, coming in from the 64-264 merge. It'll be a few more minutes before all of that starts to clear up, just because traffic volume is starting to build a little bit out there. On the north side of Raleigh, just in, a report of a crash on southbound Capitol Boulevard there at Durant Road and Perry Creek Road. Pretty heavy delays as you head in from Wake Forest this morning on Capitol Boulevard. We'll get an update on those sensor readings coming up in just a few minutes. And a reminder, if you're heading out right now, listen to us on the radio in Wake County at 99.3 FM for updates on your way to work. In Durham right now, we're looking fine for the most part on major routes. A little bit of a slowdown on the northbound side of 885. And we're on the radio there as well this morning at 96.5 FM.
All right. Thank you, Brian. More problems for Durham Public Schools this morning. Seven schools are closed today because many employees will not be going to work. WRL's Kelsey Coffey joins us now from Moorhead Montessori. And Kelsey, this is just the latest issue parents and students are having to work around.
This is just so ironic how this sign is outside of Moorhead Montessori that says the time is always ripe to do right. And this morning, dozens of employees are protesting for what they feel like is the right thing. Moorhead Montessori is one of seven schools that will be closed today due to protest. This is a full list of all the schools here on your screen. The Durham Association of Educators is demanding three things during today's protest. No pay cuts in February, an explanation for why January paychecks didn't look like what they expected, and a work session. Parents like Travis Morrison support these employees, even though the school closures will cause some challenges.
Both me and my wife's work days will be compromised. We're going to reach out to other people in the community to try to share watching the kids and share time and get through it. you know. But it's not easy.
And that's likely the time when they'll figure out what they need to do to move on with these salary issues. And today's protest is scheduled for 10 o'clock this morning at the DPS Fuller Building. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Durham.
We're working to learn more about a deadly crash on I-95. The crash happened on 95 North near Exit 70 in Harnett County just before 11 o'clock last night. It forced the closure of the northbound lanes overnight, and that section of I-95 North reopened just before 2 o'clock this morning.
Happening today, the man accused of shooting and killing two women in Apex last month is due in court. Harry Hardman is charged with murder in the deaths of Nancy Taylor and Gabrielle Raymond on January 15th. At his first court appearance the day after the killings, he was appointed a capital defender. Hardman is scheduled to be in a Wake County courtroom at 9 o'clock this morning, an hour from now. We will stay on top of the story and give you an update on what happens in our later newscasts.
A bipartisan group of U.S. senators is working on legislation that would address the migrant crisis at the southern border, as well as provide foreign aid to Ukraine and Israel. The bill faces an uncertain future, though, on Capitol Hill, where you're looking live right now. If it's approved, the bill would give the federal government the power to significantly restrict illegal migrant crossings into the U.S. at the border. And the $118 billion deal would dramatically change immigration laws for the first time in decades. It would include more than $20 billion to boost security and provide resources for new border policies. It would also give $60 billion in aid to Ukraine, $14 billion to Israel. The U.S. House will vote this week on a standalone bill for aid to Israel.
President Biden is on the campaign trail. He spoke at an event in North Las Vegas yesterday, and during his speech, he took several jabs at former President Donald Trump, who he called a loser and referred to as Hoover. One of the topics that he spoke about with was student loan forgiveness.
I promised we'd help eliminate the accumulated student debt. That millions of Americans carried during the economic pandemic and beyond. The Supreme Court of the United States blocked me, but they didn't stop me. Why?
And Biden spoke on other topics like the economy, Medicare, and abortion.
An investigation is underway after three people were found dead in a motel room in Durham. It happened at the Extended Stay America off South Miami Boulevard. The first call came in as a cardiac arrest call about 10 Sunday morning. But when officers got there, they found three men dead in one room and a fourth man was taken to the hospital in critical condition. There's no official word on the cause of death at this point. We do know foul play has been ruled out. This is a disturbing situation, leaving the community with lots of questions.
I get it. You don't want to be in everybody's business, but something like that is a big deal. Especially when there's so many kids. Like, there's so many kids that come out and hang out. You just don't know if it's something that you need to be careful of for your kids, or is this like an isolated thing that, you know, has nothing to do with anybody.
Police are waiting for the autopsy results. The people involved have not been identified.
Well, this is exciting. You'll soon be able to fly to another international destination right out of RDU. WRAL's Laura Levine joins us now to tell us about the new flight that will be announced later this morning, Laura.
Hey, Michelle. Good morning. Well, if you love to travel like myself, you definitely are going to love this story. The growth at RDU, as we're looking live here, is taking off, and so is the number of flights as the airport prepares to announce yet another international airline landing on the tarmac. RDU officials will make this announcement today, revealing where that destination will be. That is the big question. It was only a few months ago when Aeromexico became a new airline to begin that international service at RDU last year. Of course, we can't forget to mention the inaugural Air France flight from Paris to RDU and nonstop services to Frankfurt, Germany, which will begin this June. The announcement today will make this RDU's 10th international destination. Of course, we'll learn more about where that destination will be when that press conference begins at 10 a.m.
This morning, parts of California are under the threat of extremely dangerous flooding. Some people living there have been asked to evacuate. Over the weekend, Santa Rosa fire and police crews responded to calls for fallen trees on power lines and on homes. 40-mile-an-hour wind gusts did that. Officials warned people to avoid any unnecessary travel as roads are covered with debris.
CSX Transportation is closing two railroad crossings for maintenance in Fayetteville. These temporary closures start today. Cumberland Street and Moore Street will be impacted for 3 to 5 days as crews work there. Drivers should expect to see detour signs and plan for delays and a longer commute if your drive takes you through those areas.
Also this, Michelle, the next few days, prepare for overnight ramp closures onto I-40 in Garner. The lane closure is for the ramp from US 70 West to I-40 West, starting at 9 p.m., ending at 5 a.m. Last night was the first night of the closure, and weather permitting, the closure will happen each night through Wednesday so the workers can conduct ground testing there. It's part of the ongoing work to finish the I-540 project. For years, high school students have had to sharpen their pencils and flip open those test booklets to take the SAT. But now changes are on the way. And coming up, how the SAT is adapting to modern times.
Plus, a lot of people have noticed Kelly Clarkson's weight fluctuations through the years, and now she's addressing it. Coming up, this diagnosis the singer revealed that caused her to focus on healthier eating and exercising more.
Starting off with clouds, and especially in our southern counties this morning, we're going to see those clouds dissipating and temperatures will hold with lots of sunshine all the way through Thursday, near normal. Over the weekend, our temperatures start to jump, but we also get into a better chance of rain. I'll walk you through that rain timeline coming up.
Welcome back. On your Monday morning, time now is 8:14. We're going to get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner because we have a pretty day on hand. It is chilly out there, but she tells us when our next rain chances are. Elizabeth.
It looks like this weekend we're going to end up with some showers. The question is when. We have several computer models that we look at, of course, and a couple of those have more rain on Saturday, others on Sunday. So we're going to be just kind of watching as the newest information comes in. So if you do have plans to be outside over the weekend, keep checking in with us. This morning, we're looking at cold temperatures, and we'll see that all week. We're looking at temperatures near freezing or even in the upper 20s all the way up until Thursday. It will be a nice dry work week, and then our temperatures warm up over the weekend just in time for there to be at least some rain. Right now, it doesn't look like it will be a washout both days. Looking at some sunshine trying to peek through there in Goldsboro, some clouds there in Apex, some high thin clouds in Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and of course in Fayetteville. I'm trying to watch those clouds breaking out a little bit. We'll be nice and dry here until this system arrives for us over the weekend. It's not going to be anything like what's happening here in California. What's happening is we have a river of moisture that typically this time of year moves into, say, Seattle or Portland or, you know, someplace up in the Pacific Northwest where you think of it being, you know, very wet. It isn't usually wet in Southern California. So that particular ecosystem is just not prepared for this kind of rain. So this upper level atmospheric river is going to lead to excessive rainfall. It's already happening. We've already had some video in our newscast of some of the flooding that's happening. It started yesterday. We'll see it today and tomorrow. And the purple shade area there right around Los Angeles, we could see up to 10 to 15 inches of rainfall. We know how much flooding we can see out of that. And we're, you know, our ecosystem is much more prepared for that than they are in California. Eventually that system moves here. It's not likely to be as heavy or it's not going to last for that many days. We could see some rain either Saturday or Sunday. We're watching what happens next with our winds. We have the low pressure system that's sliding away from us and a high pressure system also both sliding away from us. But the difference in pressure between the two will create some windy conditions for us tomorrow. Gradually, as that low and high moves away, the winds will start to dissipate a bit as we get into Wednesday. But for tomorrow, we may see some gusts up to 25 miles per hour. And that's significant because it is going to be dry. So we have high fire danger in our southern counties. The best thing that you can do is to put off any outdoor burning maybe until Thursday or even Friday when we start to see a little bit more moisture in the atmosphere. We're on the chilly side up through Thursday and then 62 on Friday and then some showers over the weekend, either Saturday or Sunday. We'll keep fine-tuning that for you, Brian.
All right, it is 8:16 right now. Let's take a look at traffic. We are looking a lot better on that ride coming out of Zebulon toward Wendell on 64 westbound. Looks fine all the way out toward 64 business. Once you hit 87 southbound there, continuing on through Knightdale and toward Raleigh, just a little bit of brake tapping with some congestion right around 540, but that clears up quickly and hitting the Beltline, it looks pretty good as well heading out toward Capitol Boulevard again. Just a little bit of congestion between New Bern Avenue and Capitol right now. I'm watching a crash on the north side of Raleigh on Capitol Boulevard right around Durant Road. The most recent sensor update indicates that the delays are starting to ease up quite a bit. Only a 6-minute backup overall from 98 down to the 540 interchange. I'll watch that, let you know how things are changing. Also up there, there's a report of a crash on 540 westbound around Falls of Neuse Road. I'm not seeing any evidence of it on the camera and no slowdowns right now on sensors. Just look out maybe for some police activity. On the south side of Holly Springs, a crash on the 55 bypass near Pavement Ferry Road. A little bit of a backup westbound coming in from Fuquay toward the south side of Holly Springs. In Durham right now, 885 northbound is a little slow between the Cornwallis Road and TW Alexander Drive interchange, but it clears up quickly heading toward 147. And right now, all of your other major approaches into Durham are looking okay.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, we want to show you some dramatic new video into our newsroom from that New Year's Day earthquake that happened in Japan. Take a look for yourself right here. This is dash cam video from a car capturing the terrifying moments. That 7.6 magnitude earthquake hit. You can see homes in Ishikawa just collapsing under the violent shaking. Again, this is from a dash cam camera right there on that roadway. You can see all these homes just collapsing as the road buckled under that pressure as well. In a minute, you're also going to see someone on a bicycle. This is incredible video, to really be honest. Someone on a bicycle, he gets off the bicycle. There you see him right here. When it starts to shake, it starts shaking him and tossing him around. He's trying to figure out exactly what to do next. Of course, this was some terrifying moments when this happened on New Year's Day. Brand new video into our newsroom that we were in awe when we saw it. We thought we'd share it with you here in the WRA Live Center.
Wow, just incredible video, Ken. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Well, Texas Governor Greg Abbott is being joined by other Republican governors in his call for President Biden to secure the border. The governors of 13 other states joined Abbott for a security briefing and firsthand look Sunday at the border crossing at Eagle Pass. They toured an area where Abbott has deployed an increasing number of Texas National Guard soldiers who have put up barriers and razor wire. He's also limiting the federal government's access to process migrants. The Biden administration says this is unconstitutional, setting up a legal showdown.
The president is obligated by laws passed by Congress to actually secure the border and deny illegal entry. Texas has shown that we can reduce it to three people crossing across the border. Joe Biden, it is your turn now.
And Republican governors from other states blame what they say is the president's inaction at the border for increased crime and drug issues in their states.
More than 100 people have died from wildfires in Chile. Authorities said Sunday they expect that number to rise. There are currently 161 active fires burning across that country, according to fire officials there. Today and tomorrow have been declared national days of mourning for those fire victims.
The head of the nation's federal banking system brings some good news on the interest rates for this year. Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, said that the Reserve is on a path to cut interest rates three times this year. He also said the economy looks healthy and that there's no sign of a recession in the near future. Powell added the rate cuts won't happen in March, but economists think it could begin in May.
Students taking their SATs will now be able to take the test online. Starting next month, the College Board's exam is going digital. It's not the only thing that's different about the test. The testing time has been cut down from 3 hours to 2, and students can choose between a tablet or a laptop. Also, the College Board says the new version is adaptive. Questions will change depending on how the student performs as the test progresses.
Well, here's an inspiring story about a teenager who's beat the odds. Levi Perkins is a senior at Seaforth High School in Chatham County, and he refused to give up on his basketball season even after a freak accident that nearly derailed his dreams. In July, Levi tore multiple ligaments in both of his knees in a water slide accident. Doctors recommended that he get surgery on each knee at separate times, but he chose simultaneous surgical repair of both knees so that he could get the ordeal behind him more quickly. With determination and help from his medical team, Levi remarkably returned to the basketball court 4 months post-surgery.
You can definitely do anything you put your mind to, no matter how much it seems like you can't, no matter how much you may feel like you're doubting yourself. I know exactly how they feel, but you literally can do anything you put your mind to.
That's so true. It's incredible. Levi is setting his sights on playing basketball in college in the fall.
Kelly Clarkson is speaking out about her weight loss. Clarkson revealed her doctor told her she was pre-diabetic. She says that prompted her to adjust her diet and get more exercise. The singer and host says by moving to New York, she increased her exercise by the need to walk so many places. Clarkson doesn't want to focus on shedding pounds, though. She said, quote, "There's a huge difference between being in shape and losing weight, and I'm the latter." Defending NBA most valuable player in the league, Joel Embiid, is the Philadelphia 76ers will miss an extended period of time because of this knee injury he suffered here. So he'll have surgery on it. It happened in a game last week. Embiid is leading the league in scoring, more than 35 points a game, but the injury, that's pretty much going to put a damper on his chances of winning a second straight MVP award.
Super Bowl week is officially underway, and the teams are preparing for the big game. The Kansas City Chiefs and San Francisco 49ers both arrived in Las Vegas last night. They'll be practicing there throughout the week, as well as meeting with media and participating in other events. The Super Bowl is Sunday, February 11th at Allegiant Stadium, home of the Las Vegas Raiders. This will be the first time the Super Bowl has been held in Las Vegas. It's going to be a good one.
Never been in Vegas before for the big bowl.
Yeah.
RDU is expanding its service to international destinations. Coming up, when we will learn about the newest airline and destination that's coming to the airport.
And infant mortality is growing at an alarming rate for the first time in 20 years. What doctors say pregnant mothers should do to help lower the risk.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Monday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. Starting off your Monday pretty chilly, but it is beautiful out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner standing by with a look over Sanford this morning. Beautiful blue skies.
Oh, gorgeous here in Sanford. It's chilly. Temperatures have been near freezing in a lot of places this morning. That blue sky will continue to take over our viewing area. There was some cloud cover this morning, especially from the Triangle area southward. Still seeing a little bit of cloud cover down south. That will dissipate over the next few hours. It's 30 in Lewisburg, 31 in Tarboro, still 29 in South Hill. A little warmer down south. It's 39 right now in Fayetteville. Your exercise planner, not bad this afternoon. We'll see plenty of sunshine and temperatures in the mid to upper 50s. Similar conditions tomorrow. It'll just be a little breezier. Brian?
8:27 right now, and things are looking a lot better on our major routes around the Triangle than just a little while ago. Look out for some police activity on US 1 northbound right around 1010 Road as you head out of Apex out toward Cary. A little bit of a backup this morning between 55 and 1010 Road. An earlier crash up on Capitol Boulevard around Durant Road has been cleared as far as we can tell. Certainly seeing those delays from Wake Forest easing up, seeing just a 5-minute backup right now between 98 and 540. All those major approaches into Raleigh are looking pretty good, again, with the exception of those backups on US 1 northbound coming in from Apex.
All right, thank you, Brian. Seven Durham public schools will be closed today as employees protest against the district's ongoing pay issues. The Durham Association of Educators have a list of three demands of what they want before Thursday's board meeting. Today's protest starts at 10 a.m. Coming up next on Fox 50, what a new study says about drinking alcohol and parenting during the Super Bowl. And next on Today, the Puppy Bowl takes over.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The sun's been up for about an hour, but we're still sitting near freezing around the Triangle area. We will see several more chilly mornings this week. I'll show you which ones look the coldest.
Plus, seven schools in Durham are closed today as employees plan a day of protest. The demands they say they want met before Thursday's board meeting.
And a powerful storm is drenching the California coast. The life-threatening conditions people are facing and how long those conditions are expected to last. Lots of rain in California. We'll get to that story coming up. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Great to have you along. Yeah, they shortened a PGA Tour event.
Serious.
Couldn't play yesterday. They said today is a state of emergency in place out there. So that's the story we'll get to. Elizabeth Gardner, meantime, in the WRL Severe Weather Center. We are getting some sunshine, but that clear is making it very cold.
It is. Boy, once those clouds move out, our atmosphere can cool very quickly. It can also warm up pretty quickly, too, once the sun gets a little bit higher. We take a live look at downtown Raleigh right now over the legislative building. Blue sky here. We do have a north wind at about 3 miles per hour, which is not very strong, but it is continuing to feed in some slightly cooler air. 34 in the Triangle right now. We also have some cloud cover from Raleigh southward. We have a low pressure system that's way down here in the Gulf. That is moving away from us, and it's going to drag the cloud cover along with it, so we'll see clearing in our southern counties over the next few hours. It's a little warmer there, though. Fayetteville and Clinton at 39 right now, 35 in Goldsboro, still some upper 20s around the Virginia line. Hour by hour, we'll climb into the mid to upper 50s this afternoon with some sunshine, so it should feel nice out there. We are looking at temperatures like this for the next few days. A warm up over the weekend, but some rain could come with it. I'll show you when to expect it coming up, Brian.
Elizabeth, it is just about 8:32 right now, and I am watching some delays on US 1 northbound leaving Apex. Some police activity reported right around the 1010 road interchange. Delays begin around 55, and you can see here on the map some backups there from 55 to just about 1010 road. By the time you get up to 64 Business and Tryon Road, traffic starts to thin out a little bit. Seeing some improvement there as well, about a 4-minute delay overall on US 1 northbound. Let's take a look at South Durham. Right now we're looking fine on I-40 in both directions. This is that camera at Fayetteville Road. Traffic heading toward us is eastbound, coming in from 751. No delays this morning from 15501 out to 885. It's a smooth trip there, and as we take a look at your other major approaches into Durham right now, we're not seeing any unusual backups. Coming in from Raleigh on 40 westbound, no delays from Wade Avenue. Out of Hillsboro and also out of Butner, 85 looks fine in both directions as you head into Durham. Westbound 98 from Highway 50 out to 885, seeing the typical 4-minute delay.
And we're following some breaking news here out of Raleigh. I want to take you right now to Sky 5 over South Saunders Street. You can see there's a heavy police presence there, Wake County deputies as well as Raleigh police. They have this young man in custody. He's been sitting on the ground now. They're getting ready to put him into that deputy's cruiser. Again, this is happening on South Saunders Street right near Sam's Club at the intersection that you get into Sam's Club. We're working to find out exactly what led to this incident, what charges that gentleman could face, who was put into that deputy's cruiser. As soon as we get any more information about this situation, we'll of course bring it to you here in the WRL Live Center.
Ken, thanks for that update. It is a brand new school week, but it's lingering issues for Durham Public Schools. Seven schools are closed today because staff members are staging another protest over pay issues. WRL's Kelsey Coffey is at one of those schools that's closed this morning. Kelsey, parents and students caught once again in the middle of this standoff between staff and school leaders.
Jeff, they sure are. And it's just the irony that there's a sign outside of Moorhead Montessori here that says the time is always ripe to do right. And this morning, dozens of employees will be doing what they call the right thing. They'll be protesting. And Moorhead Montessori is one of the seven schools that will be closed today due to protest. This is a full list of all the schools here on your screen. Each school will offer free lunch today for students. The Durham Association of Educators is making three demands during today's protests. No pay cuts in February, an explanation for why January paychecks didn't look like what they expected, and a work session. Parents like Travis Morrison support these employees, even though the school closures will cause some challenges.
They are entitled to just compensation and, just as importantly, clarity about what their compensation is.
The school board is meeting Thursday, and that's likely going to be the time when they're going to figure out next steps for these employees' salaries. And today's protest is scheduled for this morning at 10 o'clock at the DPS Fuller Building. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Durham.
Well, this morning we are working to learn more about a deadly crash on I-95. The crash happened on I-95 North near Exit 70 in Harnett County just before 11 o'clock last night. It forced the closures of the northbound lanes overnight. The road reopened just before 2 o'clock this morning.
Today, the man accused of shooting and killing two women in Apex is expected to be in court. WRL's Laura Levine joins us now. And Laura, we have been staying on top of every development in this story. What can we expect to happen today?
We have a good morning, Jeff. That court appearance happening in the next 30 minutes. Harry Hardman is facing two counts of first-degree murder in the shooting deaths of 37-year-old Gabrielle Raymond and 69-year-old Nancy Taylor. The former U.S. Army captain is charged with the murders following a shooting spree in their Southwalk Townhomes neighborhood last month. He is also charged with animal cruelty, as police officers believe he shot and killed his dog. We recently reported just last week documents obtained by WREL show Hardman's landlord is now suing him, claiming Hardman lied about being a veteran on his application for the townhome on Brussels Drive. The documents went into detail about some of the damage, including the glass of the front door being shattered and many bullet holes found on the cabinets, on the doors, floors, and walls. The motive behind the shooting is still under investigation, although police say Hardman knew his victims. If convicted on those two murder charges, Hardman could spend the rest of his life in prison without the possibility of parole. Again, that court appearance is scheduled for 9 a.m.
Story there, Laura. We got an update that his court appearance has been continued, so that won't be happening at 9.
And our news continues now. A bipartisan group of senators have reached an agreement on a bill that funds border security along with aid for Ukraine and Israel. A vote on that bill could happen Wednesday at the U.S. Capitol, where you're looking live this morning. The $118 billion proposal comes after months of negotiations. It would include more than $20 billion to boost security and provide resources for new border policies. It would also give $60 billion in aid to Ukraine and $14 billion in aid for Israel. Hardline Republicans in Congress, as well as GOP presidential frontrunner Donald Trump, have condemned it.
An investigation is underway after three people were found dead in a motel room in Durham. It happened at the Extended Stay America off South Miami Boulevard. A cardiac arrest call came in around 10 Sunday morning, but when officers got there, they found three men dead in one room. A fourth man was taken to the hospital in critical condition. No word on official causes of death at this point, but we do know, according to police, foul play is not suspected.
And new this morning, the U.S. military is conducting more strikes on Houthi targets in Yemen. Central Command says U.S. forces on Sunday struck an anti-ship cruise missile that was prepared to fire on ships in the Red Sea. Forces then struck a Houthi land attack cruise missile before targeting four more anti-ship cruise missiles. And this all comes as U.S. military leaders are assessing damage from military strikes carried out in Iraq and Syria. The U.S. conducted dozens of strikes Friday night on facilities that are used by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard and Iran-backed militias. The strikes were in response to an attack against a U.S. outpost in Jordan that killed three American troops. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the strikes were a clear order from President Biden and are only the first stage of the U.S. response.
A powerful storm that's drenching the West Coast is causing life-threatening conditions in California. An atmospheric river is leading to floods and mudslides. For Los Angeles, it's one of the most dramatic weather days in recent memory, according to the National Weather Service. Areas across Southern California are dealing with evacuations. The risk of mudslides is increasing because of fire scars in the mountains. Winter weather alerts are in effect for the higher elevations.
And back here at home, soon enough, you'll be able to fly a new international destination out of RDU. Today, airport leaders are expected to announce an international airline and that new destination. We will be sure to let you know once we find out. The news conference starts at 10 a.m.
Today, you can give your input on an affordable housing plan for Knightdale. The town is working with UNC Greensboro's Center for Housing and Community Studies to create a plan to identify gaps in community housing and work on strategies to fix them. An open house is happening today, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Knightdale Town Hall building. Anyone can stop in and give feedback. Last night's Grammys were full of memorable moments. Coming up, Entertainment Tonight's Kevin Frazier and Nichelle Turner join us live to talk about the moments that you can't miss.
Plus, the countdown to the Super Bowl is on, but if you plan on drinking, you may want to be careful. Coming up, what a new study says about drinking during the big game and disciplining your kids. All right, it is 8:43, and we're taking a live look here at Southern Pines. Looks absolutely beautiful. You can see some cloud cover up above, some sunshine trying to break through here. We do have a low pressure system that's well to our south. It is pulling away from us, but we did start this morning with some clouds in our southern counties. But looking pretty good there in Southern Pines right now at Longleaf Golf and Family Club. 34 in the triangle currently. Our temperatures will climb into the mid-50s this afternoon. It'll be fine for getting outside. Here's a look at that low right now that's pulling away from us. We did have some cloud cover across a good chunk of the view area earlier, but we're starting to see the back edge of those clouds really slide into our far southern counties, and gradually it will pull away from us, leaving all of us with sunshine. It is 30 in Roxborough right now, 33 in Rocky Mount, 39 in Fayetteville, and 40 in Clinton, 36 in Southern Pine. So it's still chilly as you step out the door. 57 in Raleigh for the high, 57 in Durham, and 59 in Fayetteville. So feeling comfortable this afternoon. It won't be too windy today, but maybe just a touch breezy. Tomorrow the wind will pick up a little bit. We do have winds coming out of the north northeast right now. Not terribly strong today, and it doesn't have access to the Arctic air. So we are seeing chilly conditions, but not the Arctic type weather that we saw a couple of weeks ago. We
take a look at what's happening along with that. Our weekend warm-up is coming. You can see the warm temperatures that are back across parts of the western portion of the United States. Right here along the East Coast, we're looking at blue color contours. That indicates temperatures near or below normal. And then, of course, the yellows are just above normal. We do finally see some of that warmth pushing in by Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Once that sets up shop over us, it looks like it could be here for quite some time. If you're hoping for some warmer temperatures, it looks like we could see that second week of February. Our normal high is 54, so we'll be near normal all the way through Thursday. We climb to 62 on Friday, and then highs will be in the 60s over the weekend. And February 10th is Saturday, so between Saturday and next Wednesday for Valentine's Day, we have a good chance of above normal temperatures. So if you're hoping for that, it looks like your wish may come true. We're going to warm up this weekend, but it may not all be sunshine. It looks like we'll end up with the chance of some showers, possibly Saturday or Sunday. The computer models are in a little disagreement about which day looks the wettest. But keep checking in if you have outdoor plans over the weekend, and we'll let you know the newest information. Brian?
Elizabeth, I'm watching a crash in Cary just in the past few minutes. This is on Davis Drive at Preston Village Way, which is between Morrisville Parkway and High House Road. Getting some indications that maybe the southbound side of Davis Drive is blocked in that area. Certainly seeing some very heavy delays in both directions. So there in Cary, you want to keep that in mind. Again, that's Davis Drive between Morrisville Parkway and High House Road. Heavy delays because of a crash right around Preston Village Way. Michelle?
All right, thank you, Brian. Music's biggest night had some memorable moments.
It sure did. A standing ovation for the legendary Celine Dion, an iconic tribute to Tina Turner. Record-breaking night for Taylor Swift. A lot going on, so much fun. Entertainment Tonight's Kevin Frazier and Nichelle Turner are here for the big moments, guys.
All right, it appears that we're having some issue with their audio, so we will get back to them coming up. But we're going to move on now. The father of Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes was arrested in Texas for suspicion of driving under the influence. Patrick Mahomes Sr. was initially held on $10,000 bond and was released yesterday. Mahomes Sr. is a former Major League Baseball pitcher. He played for 11 seasons between 1992 and 2003. Court records show that this is not his first run-in with the law. He's been arrested 11 times. Since 2009, five of those arrests involve charges of driving while intoxicated. And parents who plan on drinking during the Super Bowl may want to be mindful about how they interact with their kids through the night. A new study from The Ohio State University finds parents who drank alcohol while watching the Super Bowl were more likely to use aggressive discipline on their kids during the game than parents who were sober. The study examined parents of kids ages between the ages of 2 and 12, and it found that the types of aggressive discipline included spanking and calling the child names. One researcher says that discipline, the number of drinks, and attending other people's parties are also contributing factors, but the majority of the discipline comes from mothers.
We know that women make up about 49% of the NFL viewing population. They're also primary caregivers. What you often see is that women are doing the discipline during those times. And if they're also drinking and they're also stressed, they can also be using that aggressive discipline.
And researchers recommend parents hire a babysitter or get their kids tired before kickoff to avoid those aggressive interactions. The artificial intelligence apps for diet and nutrition actually good for you? Well, health experts say for now, you might want to pass. With more apps hitting the market that claim that AI can be your diet or nutrition coach, some health advocates are emphasizing that you still need that human input. This is essentially true for people who have ongoing medical conditions or disorders. And although AI apps can help with monitoring food intake of portion size or portion sizes, it's best to continue getting professional advice from an expert.
It's a major concern across the country. The infant mortality rate for those three rose, 3% for the first time in more than 20 years. But doctors say black infants still experience the highest rate. There are many contributing factors like an increase in chronic health conditions before pregnancy. Some women also don't have consistent prenatal care to help diagnose congenital conditions. And doctors at the Cleveland Clinic say the lack of access to resources also plays a role.
We can't talk about infant mortality rate and racial disparities without talking about structural racism, social determinants of poor health outcomes, like where someone resides, lack of transportation, food insecurity.
Times add, women should address any pre-existing health conditions with their primary care doctor. She also encourages those wanting to start a family to ask about available resources.
All right, let's try this one again. Music's Big as Night had some memorable moments, Jeff.
Yeah, standing ovation for the legendary Celine Dion, the iconic tribute to Tina Turner.
Record-breaking night for Taylor Swift. Kevin Frazier and Nichelle Turner join us right now from Entertainment Tonight with those big moments, guys.
Jeff, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, y'all, good morning. I know you can hear me. I know you can hear me right now. So what, give me the major takeaways that you guys came away with last night, because it was an amazing show.
There were so many great moments, really. But I think that where we want to start is the moment at the end of the show with Celine Dion walking out on the stage.
Yes.
It's been so long since we've seen her in public. And to see Celine stride out there, she is a queen. When you would talk about the great musical performance and you see Taylor Swift's reaction there, but it was amazing to see Celine.
It was, because we've been worried about her for so many years. We know that she's got stiff person syndrome. Yes. We didn't know if she'd ever be able to come back on the stage again. We didn't know if she was walking. We didn't know what was happening with her. So to see her walk out there in all that grace and be so beautiful and then present the award to Taylor Swift, we just knew that was going to be a moment on stage.
Oh, it turned out to be a moment on stage because the world is buzzing, especially the internet and social media, about the fact that Taylor may have snubbed Celine when she walked up to get that award. And you see it right here. Taylor doesn't really acknowledge Celine there, and then she walks off to start speaking about, you know, and sending out congratulations to other folks and her team. Yes, she snubbed Celine. Let's just put that on the table. There is no doubt that she snubbed her, but I think that it was...
I don't think it wasn't malicious.
Right. In no way. We've been there before.
Yes.
And you lose your mind when you win an award.
Absolutely. You get on that stage, guys, and you kind of, everything goes into a haze. And I think that's probably what happened to her. It would have been nice to see the moment. I know they did have a moment backstage last night. But, you know, on stage, it did seem a little bit off.
Yeah, it hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
And you wanted to see, kind of as you said earlier, Celine passed the torch to Taylor, and Taylor acknowledged her for a second, because just before that, Taylor remembered to talk about her album when she got up on stage.
Look, I would too. I'd remember to talk about my album as well. You know, after that moment, though, we had a church moment. They took us to church during the In Memoriam. It was such a beautiful tribute to so many wonderful artists. And then John Batiste takes the stage. Take a look. Well, that's a wake up.
That In Memoriam segment was so incredible, and we lost so many legends.
Yes.
And so I thought that the Grammys did a great job in the way they handled that moment.
Yeah, they absolutely did. But John Batiste is a genius, and he took the stage and said, this is a celebration of life, and we're about to turn it up in here. And he did that. And then Fantasia came out and just, I mean, I think it was a full circle moment for her, because her audition for American Idol 20 years ago was Proud Mary by Tina Turner. And then she cemented her, you know, cream of the crop status last night by paying homage to Tina in such an incredible way.
And I think a little shout out to the Oscars. Y'all snubbed Fantasia? Well, now you see what you're missing.
She said, you're going to learn today.
Yeah, you're learning.
Absolutely. You know what else we learned?
Oh,
that Tracy Chapman is iconic. If you didn't know before, you learned it last night. I mean, her and Luke Combs on that stage together was my favorite part of the night.
I thought it was incredible. There were a lot of moments.
Yes.
I mean, even Jay-Z's honesty when he received his Icon Award was great. Michelle and Jeff, what was your favorite moment?
Well, we have to be partial to Fantasia, because she's from our viewing area, so
Fantastic.
We're going to stick with that, and thank you guys very much. We're back in a moment.